Thank you, Brother Joe. You know, Joe's dad is still blessing him and the kingdom. The Bible says, blessed are those who die in the Lord, their works do follow them. And so, thank you, Joe. First song he sang there, The Lighthouse, was my dad's favorite song, and it was sung at his funeral 20 years ago. So it's amazing how God can use things to connect dots just to bless people's lives. I didn't know Joe at the time, but Joe's dad and my dad were good friends. And when my dad was dying of cancer, Joe's dad would come over to my dad's house, and they would pick and play and sing. Yeah. And by the way, I hope that you get to spend time with your family today. Speaking about dads, my dad was never sick. He was always just a picture of health. One day he called me up and he said, son, I am so sick I cannot drive myself to the doctor. Will you take me? That was a shocker. I took him to the doctor. They admitted him to the hospital immediately. And the next day the doctors came in and said, Mr. Bean, you have 3 months to live. My dad lived 3 months and 3 weeks after that. And so just because you're healthy today doesn't mean you'll be here tomorrow. And so Father's Day, Mother's Day, days like this remind us how precious family is. And it reminds us of what we need to do every day. I think about all the times that I was busy. And when it wasn't so busy, I was going to spend more time with my dad. I can't do it today. So I hope today you'll spend time with your family. Well, if you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. If you would, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. As we read about a dad who made his family glad. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told him why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." and her spirit returned. At once she stood up, and Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would speak to us today about the importance of inviting Jesus into our home, into our families, into our lives, that he might touch our homes and our families and our lives and make them whole. Speak to us, God, through your word. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On Monday, my son texted me and said, "Dad, what do you want for Father's Day?" I texted him back and I said, "I want to preach an inspiring message that will inspire men to love God and to love their families." He sent me a text back. He said, "No, I mean, what do you want me to get you?" Well, I share that with you because many times men tell me, "I don't look forward to going to church on Father's Day because I feel like I get a beat down. I feel bad enough as it is that not being a better father than I am." Well, this is not going to be a beat down, but a build up. But it is to recognize that if you're a parent, it is one of the most challenging responsibilities you will ever have in life. With that in mind, I want you to imagine this scene. Man walks by his teenage son's room, and he is shocked at what he sees. There are no clothes lying in the floor. The room is clean. The bed is made up. Everything is neat and in order. And he says, "My, what's going on?" And he goes over there, and there's a letter on the bed, and it's addressed, "Dad." He opens it up and he says on the inside, says, "Dad, I'm sad to inform you that I'm moving out." He said, "But I didn't want to have a scene with you and Mom, so I just wrote you this letter." He said, "I know you don't approve of my girlfriend, but she makes me happy. Besides that, she's pregnant and we're going to have a child. Like I said, she makes me very happy. And she says, we're going to have lots more children. But don't worry about it. She has a single wide trailer out in the woods with enough firewood to last all winter long. Now, Dad, I know she's a lot older than I am, and you don't approve of all of her piercings and tattoos. But, Dad, she has convinced me that marijuana doesn't hurt anybody. And we're going to grow our own and even sell some to help buy food. By the way, Dad, please pray for us, especially pray for Joan. Pray that science will find a cure for AIDS because she's really a nice person." It says that hopefully in the years to come, we'll be able to come back and visit so you can get to know your grandkids. Love, John. P.S. Dad, none of that up there is true. But it's just to remind you of what's really important in life. My report card is in the top drawer of my dresser. And when it's safe to come home, call me at the neighbor's house. Well, Dads, it's a challenging job to raise your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and provide for their physical, their emotional, and their spiritual lives. And whether you're a dad or a mom or whoever you are, I just want you to know that it is a tremendous challenge, responsibility, and privilege to be a parent. And so today as we look at this passage, I want you to see a man who took the steps to bless his family. A man, a dad, who made his family glad. want us to look at three characteristics of Jairus, but before we do, I want to share a quote from Dr. James Dobson, considered to be an expert on the family. He said, "The Western world stands at a great crossroads in history. Our very survival depends on the presence or absence of masculine leadership in the home. Fathers hold the keys to the preservation of the family in our civilization." Folks, I want you to know that that very foundation is under attack. And if we'll do what Jairus did, you and I can win this battle. Number one, notice here, a dad's determined faith is revealed. What do we know about Jairus? Jairus, he was a prestigious man in verse 41. "Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house." Notice here we see his faith as he's coming and pleading with him, "Come to my house." Guys, I want to encourage you that you would invite Jesus into your home, into your house, into your family, into your marriage. But notice here, he was a ruler. He was a very prestigious guy. He was in charge of the synagogue. Realize that at this time, it was the rulers who opposed Jesus. So he was going against everything that he had ever learned when he went to Jesus. But he was exercising his faith. He loved his family. He loved his child. He was willing to do anything for his family. In 1912, the Titanic sank in the Atlantic Ocean and over 1,200 people died. The investigation said one of the things that was a common denominator was in this tragedy, on almost every floor, every corridor, somebody would run onto the scene and said, "Who's in charge here?" And said the problem was nobody was in charge. What I love about Jairus is he says, "Okay, I'm going to take charge of the situation." He was used to being a ruler in the synagogue, but now he's going to be a ruler, a leader in his home. And so what does he do? He goes out there and he said, "I don't care what anybody says or thinks about me. I want to bring Jesus into my home because that's going to make a difference." Secondly, notice he was a passionate man. "Then a man named Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him." So here's this very prestigious man, very dignified man, and what does he do? He comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus. Not only does he fall at his feet and humble himself, but he is begging. I know the scripture says he's pleading, but that's what it means. It means he was begging. I want to ask you, what is it that you're so concerned about that you'd get in front of a crowd and get down on your knees and beg for? He was passionate about his family. He was passionate about Jesus being a part of his family. He was passionate about Jesus and the need that he had, that he believed that Jesus could meet. Guys, the best thing you can ever give your family is a faith in Jesus Christ, a passion for the things of God. A guy by the name of Bill Haven was a shoo-in to win the gold medal for the United States in Paris in 1924. The problem was, as his wife was pregnant, and as they got time for close for the Olympics, he realized he would be in Paris when his wife had their first child. And so he made a decision that he was criticized for. And that is, he decided to not go to Paris and to be in the Olympics and instead be there when his son was born. Everybody asked him afterwards, "Do you not regret that? Do you not regret that?" And he said, "I never regretted it." 24 years later, Bill's son Frank won the gold medal in Helsinki, Finland. And he took that gold medal and he presented it to his dad. And here's what he said, "Dad, here's the gold medal you should have won 24 years ago. Thank you, God. I thank God for you, Dad, that you were there and waited on me." So here's this Olympic champion, but in his eyes, his dad was a hero because he was there. He was important. Guys, nothing is more important than your relationship with God and your relationship with your family. So number one, dad's determined faith is revealed. Number two, dad's deepest fear is realized. Notice here the obstacles that he encountered. Number one, he encountered delay. In verse 43, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped." Can you imagine if you're that dad? You got a 12-year-old. Your 12-year-old's died. You come and beg on your knees to Jesus. And he says, "All right, let's go." And then as you're going, somebody stops. I imagine if I were there and I were Jairus, I'd be saying, "Hey, wait a minute, woman. I was here first. Wait your turn." Huh? "Hey, woman, you've had this problem for 12 years. One more hour won't make any difference. But it might make a difference for my child. Leave the master alone." But notice here, Jesus is delayed. You see, so many times, guys, we can pray and we can work and we can serve on behalf of our family and we don't see an immediate result. Don't give up just because you run into an obstacle. Don't give up just because there's a delay. Again, put yourself in his shoes. I don't know about you, but I have gone to customer service at places before and waited in line. And then when I get right up there and it's my turn, the phone rings and they'll stop to answer the phone. I want to reach over and grab that phone and say, "I was here first." And you get put on hold. Well, Jairus got put on hold. But notice here what the Word of God says about that. Psalms 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, waiting on God's heart, that's hard work. Waiting is hard work. And so here's Jairus, and what is he doing? He is waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. But some things are worth it. In the book, Perfect 10, subtitled The 10 Commandments for the Modern World, it listed some statistics I want to share with you guys. 75% of the children who come from fatherless homes will end up in poverty. 75% from fatherless homes. Here's another amazing statistic. 70% of the prison population grew up in a fatherless home. And so when you're there and you're thinking, "Oh, this is hard work," when you're thinking, "Oh, I'm going to give up," just remember it's worth it, okay? The result is worth it. Hang in there, Jairus. It'll be worth it even if there's a delay. Even if you don't see the results right away, there will be a reward. Notice he also encountered denial. Verse 49, "While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and he told him, 'Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now.'" Okay, I've made a fool out of myself. I've got down on my hands and knees. I've begged. I've got Jesus coming to my house. This woman has delayed it, and now my child's dead. All of that was for nothing. The devil will whisper that into your ear every opportunity he gets, that what you're doing for God wasn't worth it. What you did for God didn't work. What your faith did not do any good. Be encouraged. And then number three, he encountered doubt. What would have been your response if they came up and said, your child was dead? Verse 50. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, don't fear, only believe, and she'll be healed. All right, now think about that. Scott, can you imagine? Brandon's in the hospital. You've gone to get the doctor, the only one you think that could help him, and somebody comes running up and says, oh, Brandon didn't make it. And the doctor looks at you and says, oh, don't be afraid. If you'll believe, he's going to be healed. Well, how's he going to be healed? He's dead. And so I imagine that Jairus had all kinds of doubt. And it's okay to doubt. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He says, he who's never doubted has never believed. What did he mean? It's only until you have doubted and you work through the doubt that you have really settled the issue at all. And so he had, I'm sure that he had doubt. But notice what God's Word says about that in James 1. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Brother Joe, I think I'm right in recollecting this. But your dad tried to instill with you the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his lifetime, he didn't see the fruit of that. But you know what? His dad kept doing what he was doing anyhow. And look and see the result of it today. And I say that to you because I want you to be encouraged, because some of you have adult children and they have strayed away from God and they're not doing the things that honor Him and bless Him. And you think, oh, what have I done wrong? Listen, don't doubt. Jesus is saying the same thing to you that He said to Jairus. And that is, don't doubt, don't fear, just believe and trust the healing power of God. I'm telling this on my brother. He's here. I told you that my dad found out that he was dying, and he died. And all during that time, my dad would talk to my brother, pray for my brother. My dad went to heaven, and my brother didn't live for the Lord. Years after that, he didn't live for the Lord. But eventually, Ronnie came to know Jesus Christ, and I got to baptize him. What I'm saying is don't doubt. You might not see the result here. It might be that you're on the other side of heaven when God answers that prayer for your family. So don't doubt. Don't give up. Just believe. And then, secondly, he not only had obstacles, but notice here the opposition that he endured. Mark's gospel tells it this way in chapter 5, verse 39. He went in and they said to him, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Okay, so he takes these doubts. He takes those doubts and stuffs them and said, I'm going to believe what Jesus said. And then when he gets there, he's mocked and he's made fun of and he's laughed. Some of you, by making your stand for the things of God, you have been mocked and you have been laughed at just like Jairus. But I want to encourage you, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. God is still on His throne. Some of you can remember John Wayne. I remember when John Wayne died, I cried. I mean, you know, he's a kind of a national hero. Well, in one of his movies, John Wayne, you know, his typical way where he swaggers over to the horse with his drawl, mounts his horse, and he says these words, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. So when you're mocked, when you're laughed at because you want Jesus to come into your home, you want Jesus to come into your family, saddle up anyway. And then lastly, notice here the dad's blessed future is revived. he witnessed a power most remarkable in verse 51. When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone in except Peter and John and James and the little girl's father and mother. Now, why do you think he only allowed these five in? This is my opinion. He allowed these five in because they were believing God for a miracle. Those folks that weren't believing God for a miracle, he put them to the side. Okay? Feed your faith or feed your doubt. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to grow. In verse 54, then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned. And she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Well, can you imagine that moment? Here's this lifeless gray body. And Jesus goes over there and just speaks the word, "Get up." And she got up. Did you know Jesus spoke the word and all of the universe came into being? All he has to do is speak the word in your life and in your situation. I remember this like it was yesterday. Nathan was 5 years old. He was laying down on the front pew. I walked up there and I saw him and he's just chewing away. And I said, "Son, what you got in your mouth?" And he opened up his mouth and two shiny pennies were there. And as he opened them up, I watched them both go right down his throat. Scared me to death. I thought my son's going to die right here on Father's Day. Father's Day. You know, it's never a good time for your kid to die, but on Father's Day. So I jerked him up, and I'm doing the Heimlich maneuver. I mean, man, I'm pumping air. Nothing's coming up. And finally, there's a nurse there, and she comes up and says, "Quit, preacher. He's okay." I said, "No, it's not come out yet." She said, "He's crying. He can breathe. It ain't going to come up, it's going to come out." We have folks in here in our church and they know what it's like to bury a child. I don't know what that's like, but I do know what it's like to right there in front of your very eyes think your child's going to die. Jairus' child died. Her spirit left her body. But Jesus spoke the word, and she came back to life. In verse 42 in Mark's gospel, it says, "And the girl was 12 years old, immediately stood up, walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed." Isn't that what we want for our families? We want God to so work and move in our families, in our marriages, in our lives, that people will be amazed at what God has done. I don't know about you, but I want to be a walking, talking testimony of a miracle-working God. And friend, that can only happen when we invite Jesus into our home, Jesus into our families, Jesus into our lives. And then lastly, notice he witnessed a priority that was respectable. Verse 55, her spirit returned, and at once she stood up, and Jesus told him, "Give her something to eat." This guy made his family's well-being a priority. And guys, are you listening? I want you to just understand how important this is. According to the latest research by the Barna Group, if dad is the first one to get saved in a family, 93% of every home where that happens, everybody in the family gets saved. However, if the mother is the first one in that family to get saved, only 17% of those homes have everybody in that home to get saved. If the child is the first one to get saved in that family, only 3.5% of those families will everybody get saved. You see how important it is, dads? You see how important it is, guys, that we take the lead spiritually? The influence that it has cannot be overstated today. Finally, Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." I'm going to close by telling you a true story. In 1989, there was a severe earthquake in Armenia. 30,000 people died in 4 minutes. To put this in context, when the World Trade Centers collapsed, 3,000 people died. So imagine 30,000 people die in 4 minutes. One fella, as he had escaped the earthquake, first thought about his small child at school. And his mind went back to when he had dropped him off at school that day, and he told him, he said, "Son, I will always be there for you." He said, "I got to go find my boy." And so he went to the school, and the school was like a pancake. Every bit of it was leveled. All the other parents were there weeping and crying over their children that were killed. And he remembered that his child's room was over here on this side of the schoolhouse building. And so he went around there, and he started pulling the rock off. And people came up and said, "You're wasting your time. They're all dead." He said, "Leave me alone." And he kept pulling the debris away. Well, he did this for an hour, did it for 2 hours, did it for 3 hours. Finally, Charles, a fireman came by and said, "Sir, this here is a dangerous place. You don't need to be here. You need to leave." He said, "I'm not leaving." And he kept on pulling the debris pile off. And then a policeman come by, tried to run him off. And he said, "Hey, are you going to help me or are you just going to stand there?" And he kept pulling the debris pile off. And so this lasted for 8 hours. And then it lasted for 24 hours. And in the 38th hour of digging through the rubble, he heard a voice. And he called out, "Armand, is that you? Armand, can you hear me?" He said, "Yeah, Dad, I'm down here and I'm okay." And he got his son out. And when he got his son out, here's what his son said. He said, "Dad, I told all the other kids not to be afraid. I said, if my dad is alive, he will come to rescue us." He said, "The last thing my dad told me is, says, I will always be there for you." All those other kids in that room were rescued because one man kept his promise to his child. I want us to come back to the story of Jairus. The dad who made his family glad. Don't you know they were all happy when that little girl was resurrected? How did that happen? He humbled himself. He wouldn't care of what other people. And he begged and he pleaded for Jesus to come to his house. Do you notice he's not begging his child to come to Jesus? He's begging Jesus to come to her. Dads, I want to challenge you. Beg and plead and invite Jesus to come into your house, to come into your family, to come into your home, to come into your situation. I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come to this altar. Whatever it is God's asking you to do. Folks, you realize that if I decide right now that I want to go to the White House and meet with the president, just because I want to do it don't mean it's going to happen. Let me tell you how I get into the Oval Office. I got to have an invitation. You see, you can only come to God when the Holy Spirit invites you. And if the Holy Spirit's inviting you to this altar today about your family, about your situation, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and heed that invitation and invite Jesus into your situation. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of commitment and of invitation, may the Holy Spirit draw those who need a touch from you. Help us, God, that all of us would invite Jesus into our situation. We'll make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.